Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you here with us today. We're excited because we're going to bring back and welcome back our success strategist and executive leadership coach, Jovita Jenkins, who was a guest on these microphones and this broadcast last week with Jim Masters. She's an amazing lady, and it really is. It's my pleasure to be able to talk to her today. She really is best described as a success strategist. There are not many people you run into that have that title and that reputation. And she is an executive leadership coach who actually supports women in organizations that want to make a bigger impact. She has an extraordinary background. She's been through the mill in industry. Before she became a coach, she was one of the first black women in aerospace engineering out in California. She's a pioneer in the field and a West Coast hidden figure. I think that's the best way to refer to her. She spent 40 years in aerospace engineering working on the space station, space shuttles, and even the Hubble telescope. And she led an organization with over 200 employees until she decided to retire and then became a coach. It's really interesting how people who really do have great, successful careers decide eventually to become a coach in one form or another. And it's good because they're bringing their background and their experiences to help other people who are trying to, advance their careers at one point or another. As you know, there are coaches who will help you in every aspect of your life, whether it's your personal relationship with your family, whether it's your career, whatever it is, there are coaches who can help you. And it's really good to have a coach. I have often mentioned that the CEO of Google has a coach and refers to him quite often and consults with him. And, obviously, if it's good enough for the CEO of Google, it would be good enough for all of us. And Jovita is one of those great individuals with an extraordinary background who is now lending her experiences to help other people. So it's a pleasure to bring her back again. Jovita Jenkins is her name. She's based out in Playa Vista, California. She has a fabulous website, and I'll give that to you as we go along in case you would like to contact her, to help you in your own career. So let's get to it. Jovita Jenkins. Good morning, Ms. Jenkins. Nice to have you here. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Well, we are going to continue the discussion that you had last week with Jim Masters and look more at your career and now how you help people. And as I pointed out, there are coaches who can help people in almost every aspect of their life. But describe for me, from your perspective, what is an executive coach? How do you describe what you do? What would your answer be?
Well, my focus is on helping my clients with the challenges that can make or break leaders, both in public organizations, nonprofits, and small companies. And my passion is working with aspiring and seasoned leaders who want to advance their careers, increase their levels of influence, confidence, respect, and their ability to build strategic relationships. And in today's marketplace, you really need to be able to collaborate and have strategic networks in order to function and survive.
So at what point in one's career would it be most appropriate for them to work with you or for you to work with them? You wouldn't be working with someone who's just starting out in their career. I would assume it would be much better if they already have some stripes in the corporation that they're working for. They may not be a vice president, but they could be a manager or whatever level do you think it's most appropriate for you to start working with them? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that the level that I could start working with aspiring leaders is when they're in their first management job. the skill sets change in, from being an individual contributor to being a leader of people or of programs. And so at the point where people start changing their career focus, that's kind of my sweet spot. And in the last couple of years, it's primarily been at the director and above level. It's primarily folks that are trying to make an impact and have influence and move the needle in the right direction for more effectiveness and more productivity in their organizations.
That's a good way to put it, really good. By the way, do you work primarily with women or men, or is it equal? You know, how would you put it?
Well, it's mostly women now because I support a CHIEF, which is an organization that's focused on executive women. And so I have three groups that I support, two VP level and one C-suite. And then I have a few sprinkled other private clients, but that's primarily it's with senior level women these days.
Well, you know, it's interesting because women are working their way into the executive, you know, the executive levels much, much more today than they were years ago, and I think that's really good. Let me ask you how you know what, before I get you to talk about how you help people, briefly talk to me a little bit about your career, because we have people listening who did not hear your previous broadcast, and they may not have read your book. Obviously, we're going to talk about your book. But you have a remarkable background and career that you spent in the aerospace engineering field. Talk a little bit about that and how it was for you as a black woman in that industry, you know, working your way up the ladder. Talk about it.
Okay. Well, I started early. Actually, I wanted to build robots for Disneyland. That was my impetus for going to college. But it really,
yeah. Just,
and I talked to a person. I called Disneyland because this was back before there was Disney Studios and Disney everything else. And I asked what it would take to be an audio animatronic technician, because that's what they were calling what they now call Disney Imagineers. And I think I was just fascinated by the words. And this lady said, "Major." Well, there's no such thing as a major in that, but if you major in mathematics or engineering, I think you could get a job doing that kind of work. So she said math first. So I have 2 degrees in math. I have a bachelor's and master's in applied math and an MBA.
So, wow.
But
good
that's
for
how
you.
It got started. When I graduated from college, it was just as the space race was opening up, and Rockwell was hiring people to do a space type thing, so that my first project was working on software for the B-1 bomber. So I just
wow.
hit the industry right, and so I supported projects. I started there. I retired from TRW about 30 years later, and I've supported all the kinds of work that I did would now require a master's degree in computer science. But back then, you know, there was no master's degree in computer science, and we were learning as we went. And as I progressed and up the ladder, I discovered that I had a real proclivity for helping people work better together. So I usually ended up running the project, whatever it was. And so that's how this all started. As we got closer to when I decided to retire, the organization that I worked for was acquired, and I decided, okay, I'm tired of proving how I got here. What do I want to do next? Well, during this period, I'd been certified as a coach because I really liked the idea of helping people with their strategy for developing their careers, and I was doing that anyway. So it was a way for me to do the part of the job that I still really love and to keep going. And that's actually how I got started. I retired from TRW because Northrop Grumman bought us, but the first 3 years that I was out, I was a contractor to Northrop Grumman as a leadership coach. Don't ask me how that happened, but it did. And that was how I got started coaching leaders to be better in their organizations. So between what I learned as a person going through all of that without any role models and learning by observation and trial and error, I can now use some of that plus what I've learned interacting with all of the people that I've coached in the last 10 years. I have a wealth of knowledge now and questions that I can ask and ways of helping people say, huh, okay, maybe I should try something else. Or I've done this, this, and this, and maybe now I'll try this next. So I'm really kind of a collaborator with my clients to help them figure out how to move from where they are to where they want to be next in an organization.
Wow.
Primarily.
That is so great. I'm just wondering, did you have anyone on your way up through the ladder that you could turn to for help the way you are helping others today? Did you have a coach you worked with or not?
I did not have a coach, but I've found people, and I was always curious and asking questions and observing what was going on. I wish I had had a coach.
Yeah.
I think I could have progressed farther and done more if I'd had more people to bounce ideas off of. But coaching is the way it's presented now is not the way it started out. It started out as we're trying to fix people, or this is the last thing we're going to do before we send them out the door. And I didn't like that kind of coaching. But now it's really a perk to have a coach that you can strategize with and bounce ideas off of, and that you don't have to worry about what you say coming back to haunt you at some other point in your career or your life.
Yeah, boy, I'm sure you would have appreciated having someone like yourself to turn to if you
would.
Were coming up the ladder. No.
Yes.
Question about it. You know, off the cuff, let me just ask you, does it surprise you that the B-1 bomber is still flying and is still a major part of the Air Force defense, you know, program?
No, it doesn't, but we should be a lot farther along, I think. I think that a lot of the knowledge base has left the building.
Yeah, interesting. Because they are still flying, right?
Yes, they are.
No question about that, yeah. Oh, boy.
And they aren't falling out of the sky.
No, you're right. Thank goodness. Well, let's talk a little bit about how you go about helping someone when they come to you. And by the way, with the past year we've had with the COVID pandemic shutting everything down, and, you know, I would presume initially you started working with people in person and, you know, having individual meetings with them face-to-face. But now it's been mostly, you know, on Zoom and by telephone. Is that the way it's been with you in your coaching career?
It's mostly been Zoom. It's all virtual.
Yeah.
And actually, I like that because I'm actually an international coach. I've got clients now from all over the world as a result of doing it through Zoom as opposed to having to meet a person face-to-face. But you can still see them, and you can still read their body language, and at least I can, that kind of thing through Zoom. I very seldom do it just on the phone.
Let me ask you another thing, too. Your background, obviously, is in a very complex field, the aerospace engineering. But what you learned in your position there and in the jobs you held through your many years in that industry, it really doesn't matter what industry people are in who are coming to you for help, because it's all applicable, what you have learned, whether they're in the automotive industry or whatever they're doing. The keys to success are basically the same, aren't they?
Well, pretty much. As you climb the ladder, your technical expertise becomes less important than your ability to interact with people and get work done through the efforts of others. So your emotional intelligence type skills get more important the higher you go in an organization, because you can't do all the work yourself. So at the level that I like to work, there are principles that you need to look at. Like, you need to be able to listen better and to communicate your ideas clearly and simply. And to be able to get along with people. In the old days, command and control, you know, you go and do what I tell you to do, that worked. That doesn't work anymore, especially not in the knowledge work industries, and that's primarily where my focus has been, where you need the people in order to get the work done. So you have to figure out how to interact with them better.
So let's talk about how you go about helping someone in their career who has turned to you for help. You're an executive coach. They would like to be an executive, even at a higher level than they are. How do you figure out what skills you need to work on with them? I mean, there are many issues that you deal with, helping them decide how to make a decision on a difficult issue. Among many other things you do, you're troubleshooting and resolving challenges, enhancing management and leadership skills. You point out a lot of these issues on your excellent website, by the way, which is your name. It's JovitaJenkins.com. Jovita, J-O-V-I-T-A, Jenkins.com. Anybody listening wants to learn about you and how you help people, that's the place to go. It's a great website. But I'm just wondering how you decide, what areas should I start with this client I have to help him, you know, improve his position?
Well, the first thing is to have what I call a discovery conversation, where I really pretty much listen to what's going on right now. So the process is kind of what is, what if, what matters, what works. So start with where you are, and in listening to what people say, I get a feel for where they might be having an issue, and then I'll ask them what would be the best use of our time together today. And after they've told me a little bit about themselves and where they are, something usually comes to light that's a starting place for us. And it's different for each person, so it's not a cookie cutter. It's focused on the individual and what each individual actually needs. And then we'll go in from there, look at what is it that you, what's the ideal? What would you like? And then we start working on what steps can we potentially take to get there. But first, just getting an idea of where they are and where they would like to go. In a lot of cases, an example would be like if a person gets a promotion and is going to take a new job, the skill set and the success criteria for the new job is not the same as it was for the old one. So you have to start looking at, these are my skills, this is what I need to be successful in the new job, what's the gap, and how do I fill it? And that's kind of the process. You know, I'm here, I'd like to be here, these are the success criteria for the new area, this is where I am, and this is kind of the method that I need to go through in order to be really proficient in my new role. So that's mm-hmm. that's one area.
Well, that's really very interesting. I know there are many, many areas that you can work with people on. How long do you typically work with a client, by the way? You build a relationship with them, and obviously, you know, it's not a one-meeting or two-meeting procedure with you. I would think it would last a considerable amount of time. Am I right?
It varies. For some of one of the programs that I support, it's actually individuals that they get an hour each, and so I have a kind of a speedy process to go through that at least help them move off the dime. For most of my executive clients, it's like usually between 3 to 6 months that I work with a person. For my groups, they're usually scheduled for a year, But I've got one that's been going on now for two. So it really sort of varies. But typically what I would prefer is a three-month commitment to at least get a person from where they started to at least the next level so they can see some progress and then decide if they want to go on from there.
Wow. Let me ask you, I typically ask folks who are in this field that you're in if they have any great success stories they'd like to pass along. I don't mean names or anything, but some examples of people who've come to you for help. Are there any specific stories that come to your mind right away that you'd like to pass along as an example of people you've been able to help?
Well, there's actually one gentleman that actually finally made it through from a director to the VP level because we went through and looked at all of the areas that that he needed to focus on. Like instead of focusing just on, as a director, you focus just on your group. As a VP, you have to have more of a corporate-wide view. So you have to focus on what's important to your group, plus you also need to be aware of and cognizant of what's going on at the whole organization level. So helping him change his perspective and to come up with ways to demonstrate that to his management showed that he had gained sufficient acumen in the organization to really function well at that next level. So helping him get from director to VP, I think, was my biggest success so far.
Well, that's a great story. That's really good. By the way, how long have you been been an independent coach, since you retired from the industry? How long have you been doing this now?
10 years.
10 years. Wow. That's flown by.
Oh, I just thought about that. That's a long time.
Well, I also want to point out, you wrote a book. It's a great book, and it's called Get Out of Your Own Way, Create the Next Chapter of Your Life. Primarily intended for women, I think, as I gather, to help them think differently about their lives. Talk to me a little bit about your decision to write that book.
That book came out of people asking me how I got the nerve to leave my cushy job when I chose to retire, because I didn't have to leave. I could have stayed where I was. But I decided that I started writing about what it took for me to get up the courage to leave that job and move. And so it's my philosophy for how to be successful no matter what you choose to do. So it talks about my success principles and what you have to think about and go through in order to figure out what your passion and purpose is and what action steps you can take in order to putting together the plan for how to move, how to take the first steps, and then to repeat the process. I also speak at different conferences and on success and leadership.
I know you do. You're an excellent speaker. And I mean, how often do you do that? Do you do that a lot?
No, periodically. Maybe so far this year I've spoken at three different events.
Okay.
So not all that often, but it's an area that I'd like to do more of, to speak at more events.
Listening to what you said, you didn't have to leave your cushy job, but you did. And then, you wrote this book with a lot of it, in the book was about your decision to leave. Do you think you made the right decision to leave at the time you did? Ever have any second thoughts about that?
Oh, all the time. Hindsight's 20/20, and when you get out into the real world, you discover that the skills that are required to be successful inside an organization are not the same as the ones that you need to be an entrepreneur. So it was a whole new learning environment. Plus, life kicked in, and things happened, and so it's been a roller coaster.
Well, I know you've been through a lot. It's kind of interesting because you were in this career for many, many years as a woman and a black woman at that. Do you think things have changed for women in general on their you know road to success in corporate America? One
not
would
as
think
much as
the
it
answer
should've.
Is yes. What do you think?
I think the answer is not as much as it should have.
Really? Interesting.
I don't think that the needle has moved nearly as far as it should. Women are still, less than 10% of leaders. I think there's only 1% of women that actually run Fortune 1000 companies, maybe. And we still have the stigma of if women are promoted based on experience and what they've done, where men are promoted based on potential. And I don't think that's changed nearly enough. We could talk about that forever, but
that's very interesting because it's interesting to hear your aspecting on that. That's really cool. Let me ask you, what do you think as you look back? What do you think were the keys to your success rising in your jobs? Because it was a lot harder then than it is now, I presume. But you did very well. What do you think were the keys to your success?
Being curious,
yeah.
Asking questions, paying attention and listening, picking my battles and not fighting everything, but picking the ones that were most important and fighting those and kind of letting some of the other stuff roll off my back. So you have to decide, is what someone told me once, are you stomping on ants or are you picking your battle strategically that you want to fight. So I was strategic and almost, and that's what one of the things I think I bring to my clients is I help them think strategy for getting where they want to go. And I think that's really what helped me. I'm friendly and I listen and I pay attention and I will come back and thank people for advice that helped, and I will also try and figure out how to be helpful so that I try and create win-win situations in all aspects of whatever it is I do. And that really helped me. That and being able to get people to work together better. I don't know. That I usually ended up being in charge of whatever it was I was working on or at least of a part of it.
Yeah. That's very important, helping people get along and get them to work better in almost any industry. That is a very super trait to have. Good for you. Very good for you. Listen, I could chat with you for an hour, but we're running out of time here. I want you to know it's been absolutely great having you as a guest. Your book, by the way, is available on Amazon, right? And when did you write the book? How long ago?
I actually wrote the book in 2005, but the principles still hold and it's still selling. And if you want a signed copy, get it through my website and not through Amazon. Because anybody who orders it through me, I'll sign it.
You answered the question. I was gonna, is it still as, everything you mentioned is still as adaptable today as it was when you wrote it? And you just answered that. It still is.
It
okay, well,
is.
Very good. Jovita Jenkins is your website, jovitajenkins.com. And, again, if you're interested, look up, go there to get a copy of Jovita's book, Get Out of Your Own Way, Create the Next Chapter of Your Life. Thank you so much, Jovita. It's been great having you as a guest. We really appreciate it. All righty?
And thank
have a nice
you.
Day.
You too.
You are welcome. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Well, that's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.